The journey of repentance our guest will share today will give you confidence in your ability to change for the better. Next on Gospel of Life. Hello, I'm Father Frank Pavone, National Director of Gospel of Life Ministries. Welcome to our program. Janet Moran, our Associate Director, is with us as usual, and we have a very special guest today. She's from Denver, Colorado. Her name is Jane Brennan. She is a wife, mother, author, and counselor, and she has a powerful testimony that she's going to share with us today. So welcome, Janet, Jane. Good to have you on the program.
Thank you. Well, you know, Father, as I've spoken before on this program, since co-founding the Silent No More Awareness Campaign, many women have come forward and said they're willing to give their testimonies. Mm-hmm. And we're so pleased to have Jane on our team. She is our regional coordinator for the Silent No More Awareness Campaign in Denver, and we're very pleased that she's stepped up to willing to lead the healing in Denver for
us. Well, we talk about the campaign so much on this program, it's good to have one of our regional people here in the flesh, and it's the biggest mobilization of people who have been healed from abortion that we've ever had in this movement. So thanks for being part of it.
Thank you.
Well, you know, Jane, I know there was a time in your life where you were not pro-life, as we know, you've had an abortion. Maybe you want to just take us back to just quickly tell us, how did you find yourself inside an abortion clinic?
Well, my first abortion was when I was in college, and I went to college in Boston, and abortion at that time was everywhere. It was very well publicized, and it was very well accepted, and I never heard any other position. So when I became pregnant as a junior in college, after much of promiscuity and everything, that seemed like the answer.
Right. So. How did you feel, though, immediately following that abortion? Because, you know, I know from Planned Parenthood and these clinics, they tell the women, oh, this is a simple solution. You have that abortion, you'll go back to school tomorrow. How did you feel immediately following that abortion?
That's exactly what I was told, that you'll just be able to get on with your life. Mm. And I had my abortion right before Christmas break. And when I went home for Christmas break, I felt very depressed and very empty. But I kept thinking about what that counselor said, that, you know, it'll be a simple, easy procedure, and then I'll just be able to get on with my life. Mm-hmm. And that's what I kept trying to do, but I didn't feel like I could get on with my life. I just felt very depressed and empty. And that's when I turned more to drugs and alcohol.
To kind of numb those feelings.
Yes.
You know, because if everyone else is saying to you that it's no big deal, you think there's something wrong with you.
Yes.
Because you're saying, well, I don't feel right, so it must be me.
Yes.
And that's when the drugs and alcohol. So tell us a little bit more, like what happened after that? Were there another abortion or, you know, kind of like what happened in your life there?
Well, after my first abortion, I became very involved in feminism. And the feminist movement at this time was very active, it was 1980. Mm-hmm. And so it was the height of this radical feminism, especially in Boston. And I felt for the first time in my life very empowered by their message that women had control over their bodies and their fertility. Because I never felt I had control over anything, least of all my body, because of the abuse I suffered as a young child. So that really spoke to me. So I became very militantly feminist and went on all these marches and protests and everything. So when I got pregnant again, it was, I guess, easy for me to have another abortion because now I felt it was my right to do so.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what would you say pro-abortion organizations, did you join any? Were you involved with?
Yes. After I graduated from college, I moved to New York City, and I joined NOW, the National Organization for Women there. and I was a very active volunteer for them. And then later, when I moved out to Denver, I became also a member of NOW in Colorado and joined NARAL, and I also was a volunteer for Planned Parenthood.
And what kind of activities did you do when you volunteered, say, like for Planned Parenthood?
They had this special program at Planned Parenthood at that time where they would go into the high schools and talk to the young girls about Norplant, which was a birth control device at that time. And we would sign the girls up for Norplant. And then we would bring them to the clinic to get it put in their arms. And while they were at the clinic, they had to have a pregnancy test. And if they turned up pregnant, we couldn't do the Norplant, obviously. So I would counsel them and into having an abortion. And I would arrange for them to have an abortion.
How many years would you say that you were, you know, volunteered like that for Planned Parenthood then?
It was about a year I did this. My husband was very, he didn't like me doing that. Because during this time, I was still very depressed. And it was very difficult for me to take care of my children. But I would have time to do this. And so he would get very angry at me for doing that. And please stop doing this, stop doing this. And, of course, I was always ranting and raving about men who I thought were the enemy and how they were always trying to keep women down and everything. So he had too much of this, and he left me. So when he left me, that was when I decided to quit all these activities.
I see. And when did you begin to make a connection to your abortion? Because as you said, you know, when you first had the abortion, you just brushed it off and just thought there was something wrong with you. But how did you move down that road to say, well, the difficulties I'm having with bonding with my children and my relationship with my husband and delving into this feminism so deeply, when did you begin to make a connection that your abortion might have some underlying cause here?
It wasn't until many years later when I had a miraculous conversion. And Jesus Christ, through his healing of me, that I began to realize what I had done. And he showed me how I can become healed of this.
Mm. It's a powerful journey when you not only get into the abortions, you had two of them, but then helping others to get abortions and joining pro-abortion advocacy groups. That's quite a lot to repent from. That's quite a lot to be healed from. And we're going to take a little break and then talk about that healing, talk more about the dynamics of that conversion, and show so many of our listeners and viewers how they can find the same healing, because there's a lot of that same kind of pain out there. So thanks for what you've shared so far. And brothers and sisters, stay with us here on Gospel of Life as we continue talking with our special guest, Jane Brennan. We'll be right back.
There's nothing wrong with your television set. You don't see anything because there's nothing there. Abortion, the most common surgery in America. Why don't we ever see what it looks like? A message from Priests for Life.
Now you can make a difference in the lives of the unborn for as little as $12. Make your donation today and we'll send you a copy of the pro-life masterpiece, Earth's Trash, Heaven's Treasure. Vivid imagery and striking colors come together in a painting that captures the essence of eternal hope for the unborn. You'll help change the hearts and lives of people everywhere. Plus, you'll have a treasured piece of artwork that serves as a daily reminder of the beauty of precious living souls. Make your donation today.
Well, welcome back. I'm with Janet Morana, our associate director, and Jane Brennan, who has shared with us the story of her two abortions, her involvement with NOW and Planned Parenthood, NARAL, and various kinds of volunteer activities for the abortion industry. And now you have just started to tell us how the Lord Jesus Christ rescued you from all that.
Yes.
How did this actually happen? Was there one specific experience? You said that your husband leaving you really kind of shook you up about what you were doing. But tell us what happened from there.
After my husband left, that was probably the first time that I really began to question what I was doing and what I believed in. So, like I said, I stopped doing all the volunteering for those groups and just started to look around and see what it was that I was doing. And I remember one thing pretty clearly. It was during the first Gulf War when the first President Bush was president. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now in all those groups, the feminists, they always said that women can do anything just like men. Mm-hmm. And so they can even fight in wars just like men. So you saw on the TV all these women leaving for war.
Yes.
And it was very sad. I thought it was very sad. They were leaving their children and their husbands. And then I get a letter from, I believe it was NOW, and they were saying that we don't support this war. Mm. And I thought that was kind of hypocritical, because here you're telling women that they can go and do this, and then when they listen to you and actually go and do that, then you say you don't support what they're doing. And it seemed to me it was more they were concerned about their political position rather than the ordinary average American woman.
Yes, and that's always a disconnect, isn't it, between these radical groups that promote agendas like abortion. I've said it so many times, they are simply out of touch with the common people.
That's right.
They really are. We have, they often have more media access, political power, and money, but we've got more people.
That's right.
So that was the first thing that struck me.
Yes.
And so now I really began to investigate exactly what I believed. And I came across a book called Who Stole Feminism by Christina Hoff Sommers. Mm. And that really, really spoke to me about, she talked about how this radical group of feminists has hijacked the feminist movement.
Yes.
Because the original feminists were pro-life.
That's right.
And pro-motherhood.
They certainly were. Well, I was just going to say, those two words are very important, stole and hijacked. In other words, radical feminism is evil, not because feminism is evil, but that's because right. a good thing has been taken and has been twisted, distorted, stolen, and hijacked
right.
for evil purposes.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
well, in fact, you know, when you talk about original feminists, Susan B. Anthony and all those women.
Elizabeth Cady Stanton.
They were pro-life.
Vigorously pro-life.
And I didn't know that until reading that book.
Right.
And so that really opened my eyes.
Well, you know, it's interesting. The feminism argument against abortion is that we as women should not be determined, our values is not decided by men. So why should we make the same mistake in thinking that we decide the value of our children?
That's right.
It's the same mistake being perpetuated. And anyway, so you began to see these contradictions and you began to re-educate yourself.
Yeah.
And when did the more specifically religious dimension of it come in with your faith?
Well, the feminists that I was involved with, they really didn't like religion. They thought religion was a way to oppress women.
Yes.
And in particular, they didn't like the Catholic Church because the Catholic Church was so pro-life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I began to investigate that, and I started to read stuff by Pope John Paul II. And I had always believed that he was this misogynistic, evil oppressor of women. And after I started reading his stuff and seeing him, I realized how wrong I was, that he was a very loving, gentle, humble servant of God. And the next step I had to take was to actually go to church.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a big step for me, because I grew up Catholic, but my parents weren't very religious, so I really didn't know anything about the Catholic Church or any religion. All I knew is what the feminists had said.
Yes.
So this was a big step for me to actually go inside a Catholic church. But when I did, I walked in through the doors, and it was like I was coming home. This feeling just came over me, and it brought tears to my eyes.
It was an immediate, I'm in the right place experience.
Mm. Absolutely.
Mm. And then did you follow up, though, for any additional, because, you know, we know from the women who've gone through this that they might go to confession or go to their minister, but then they need to really deal with the abortion.
Yes.
What was that healing program or experience?
Well, after, of course, I had this miraculous conversion, you know, and then I realized I had to go to confession because what I thought was my right was actually sin. So I did go to confession. And then the priest was telling me about at the Archdiocese, they have a program called Project Rachel. And I needed to talk to this woman there. Mm-hmm. So I did, the director of the Respect Life office there, Mimi Eckstein, and I went to see her. Mm-hmm. And I went through counseling with her and Project Rachel. And that was like so healing.
Yes.
And freeing. You know, the feminists always talked about abortion would free us and make us free from all this, you know, societal constraints that were forced upon us. Mm-hmm. But they don't know what real freedom is.
No, they don't. They don't.
Well, in the final seconds, I just want to point out, Jane, that you have a healing ministry yourself. You're a post-abortion counselor. And you've written this wonderful, marvelous book called Motherhood Interrupted, which has your complete story. We've only kind of briefly talked about it, and several other women who are involved with the Silent No More Awareness campaign. So we encourage people, this is a good resource to get to people who you know might resonate with some of these thoughts, and even people who think they're pro-choice. Let them see what happens to women who've experienced abortion.
Yes.
Well, the time always goes by so fast. Thanks for your witness and your ongoing work. We look forward to our continued collaboration in this Silent No More Awareness campaign.
Thank you.
God bless you, Jane. Well, friends, our pastoral team may be coming to a town near you very soon. On the weekend of August 30th and 31st, Father Dennis Wild from our team will be in Wyoming, and Casper, Wyoming, to be specific, for various individual events and preaching. Details are on our website at gospeloflife.com. If you're anywhere near Booth Bay Harbor, Maine, Father Peter West will be there for a weekend of preaching, August 30th and 31st. And on that same weekend, Father Walter Quinn will be in Abington, Pennsylvania. I will be going out to Salina, Kansas, and will be there on the weekend of September 5th, 6th, and 7th for various diocesan activities. And that same weekend, Father Dennis Wild will be in Des Moines, Iowa, for likewise a parish pro-life weekend. All of these and many other events are at our website at gospeloflife.com, and you can join the members of our pastoral team as they seek to encourage and strengthen you and your churches and your communities and your families and your organizations to continue to promote the sanctity of life. Stay with us, because after this break, we will have our action segment to give you even more tools to fight abortion.
There is a crisis in America, a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. In the last 12 years, half of the nation's freestanding abortion clinics have closed, and the abortion industry is on the run. Gospel of Life Ministries has played a vital role in the rescue of countless children and is currently in place to save thousands more. But we urgently need your support to make this happen. Not everyone can be on the front line of this battle, but when you support Gospel of Life, you are saving lives. Your life-saving gift of $25, $50, or $100 will help us provide alternatives to women who think they have no choice but abortion. And for those countless women who have lost children to abortion, Gospel of Life Ministries will help them find forgiveness, healing, and peace in the cross of Christ and become outspoken advocates for the lives of their unborn children. The help you provide will also bring the saving word of life to churches through a training program that is raising a mass voice that will see abortion stopped. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the booklet, Pro-Life, Today and Always. It will give you an overview of why we are pro-life and provide reflections that will stir and motivate you to action. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD, The Procedure. In this powerful DVD, you'll hear abortionists discuss the procedure in their own words and unmask the violence that the abortion industry tries to hide. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll also include the book, Forbidden Grief. This compelling book will open your eyes to the psychological damage done to those who have had an abortion experience. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Thank you.
Hello, friends. Welcome to our action segment. The weak link of the abortion industry is the abortion facilities themselves. And we have been saying this from the very beginning of our ministry, and we have been activating and mobilizing and encouraging people to go to these places to pray, to intervene, to sidewalk counsel. That's what we want to talk about again today in the context of a special project that you may already be aware of or participating in that takes place in the fall. Janet Morana, our associate director, you have been on the streets, as I have, from coast to coast at abortion facilities. And tell us a little bit about, first of all, what goes on in front of these places, because many people still have the impression that the pro-life movement just goes there to harass and intimidate women.
Well, first of all, the people who do go out in front of the abortion mills, many of them are sidewalk counselors. They've been trained in how to counsel a woman who is abortion-minded or abortion-vulnerable, because at that point, that woman going in, you know, she's headed for that abortion. And usually they try to position themselves not right at the exact entrance of the clinic or at that pathway, but they're usually a little bit further away, trying to intervene at that point just to see, can we help you? We'll have some information for you. Would you like to get a free pregnancy test? You know, nice, calm phrases like that they're asking her. And if she'll pause for a minute to talk, then they know how to counsel her to say, do you really know what's going to happen? You know, they might tell her information about that doctor. Because many of these doctors, you know, have lawsuits against them. So they're there to provide help and free resources to see if that woman would want to not go in the abortion clinic, that will take her to a pregnancy resource center where she could get real help for that abortion. Now, also to support those sidewalk counselors, there are other pro-lifers who come on a regular basis, and all they do is pray. Now, this is a very important component because when you think about what's happening, this is the forces of good and evil. Inside that abortion mill, we know babies are going to die that day. And outside here on the streets are the people who are standing in prayer to the Lord saying, please, God, let's intervene for the lives of these children and, you know, and the mothers. And please let the Holy Spirit come upon her and let her be convicted not to go into that mill. So it's a peaceful, quiet prayer that they're doing outside the abortion mill. And if a woman's receptive, the counselors are there to intervene. This is life-saving work. Father, you and I have been out in front of abortion clinics, and we've been witnesses to babies saved by this witnessing outside these abortion mills. We know how important it is. Well, there's a campaign starting in this country. It happened all last year, different times of the year. And this September, the 40 Days for Life campaign will once again begin. And this is where people are willing to come out for a 40-day period and witness in prayer in front of the abortion mill. And last year's campaign, last spring of 2008, we sourced great results that some abortion mills actually closed after the 40 Days for Life campaign.
And this is as we have always said, because this is the weak link of the abortion industry, the sustained presence of the people of God in front of these places will, in fact, bring many of them to close. We have to be there. That's the point. A sustained presence means that, first of all, every time somebody in despair comes to that place to have her child killed, she'll have there the sign from God that this is not what she should do. And that, secondly, the consciences of the abortion workers themselves are awakened, because they try to suppress their own conscience, and we bring it out into the open. And many of these staff do not remain. They have a very high turnover rate, and the abortion clinic is all the more weakened as a result.
That's right. And we know from other cases that the abortion people have told us when people are outside praying, it's a bad day for abortion business inside the clinic.
Yes, it certainly is. So, friends, take part. Promote. See if your community is engaged in the 40 Days for Life campaign. 40daysforlife.com is the website. And we'd also like to equip you, on another note, with this booklet, Voting with a Clear Conscience. You can get it from us free of charge. We'll be eager to send it to you to prepare for this year's elections. Brothers and sisters, it's critically important that the information in here be spread far and wide. Thanks for joining us. Continue to bring others to gospeloflife.com, and we'll see you again next week.
Not until people saw images of children in coal mines did they enact child labor laws. Not until people saw images of human torture did they rise up against slavery. And now, after seeing these images, what will you do? Priests for Life, because America will never reject abortion unless America sees abortion. Call now to learn how you can help.
You are looking at the face of an unborn child, 25 and a half weeks into pregnancy. This child can be legally killed by abortion in America. As this ad from the Yellow Pages proves, some abortion clinics sell abortions up to 28 weeks. Abortion kills living children whose hearts are beating and whose bodily organs are all in place. Abortion. Haven't we gone too far?
There is a crisis in America, a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the booklet, Pro-Life, Today and Always. It will give you an overview of why we are pro-life and provide reflections that will stir and motivate you to action. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD, The Procedure. In this powerful DVD, you'll hear abortionists discuss the procedure in their own words and unmask the violence that the abortion industry tries to hide. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll also include the book, Forbidden Grief. This compelling book will open your eyes to the psychological damage done to those who have had an abortion experience. Please call, write, or make your gift online today. Gospel of Life program is made possible by the supporters of Gospel of Life Ministries and Priests for Life. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of stopping abortion and providing post-abortion healing. Specific outreaches mentioned are examples of the programs conducted and supported. Gifts are considered to be without use restriction unless specifically stipulated by the donor.